You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Carl Bates.
Last week, Police Minister Mark Mitchell announced Cabinet's decision to amend the Policing Act to restore the right for police to collect and use images in public spaces. This follows a recent Supreme Court case which ruled that an image of a person taken during a traffic stop could not be used against them in an unrelated crime. Privacy law specialist Gyan Gunasekara says the revision could extend police powers towards a surveillance state. The government has also announced a change of eligibility for the job seeker benefit to come into effect from next November, which will see 18 and 19-year-olds with parents making more than a combined income of $65,500 no longer able to receive payments. In the June 2025 quarter, 12.9% of this country's 15 to 24-year-olds were not in jobs, education or training, and despite claims by Prime Minister Chris Luxon, employers and recruitment agencies have said there aren't enough roles for those seeking. Finally, on Sunday, the government announced their plan to change methane emissions reductions targets in New Zealand, aiming for between 14 and 24% by 2050, as opposed to the previous target, which was between 24 and 47%. Agriculture and Trade and Investment Minister Todd McClay says the decision is in alignment with evidence as well as the practicality for farmers, but the decision goes against the Climate Change Commission recommendations to increase the targets and has been called a step back for our climate targets. I spoke with National MP Carl Bates about all of these topics, starting with the Policing Act amendment. I asked about the expected benefit of these changes.
So basically, this amendment is a revision to the previous rules. Currently, it makes no sense that basically the police have an ability to take photos for intelligence purposes that is less than what the average New Zealander can do. So that doesn't make a lot of sense, and we're fixing it.
How do you respond to concerns of this amendment leading to something of a surveillance state?
No, this is not going to lead to a surveillance state. It's simply the reversal of how the rules used to work about 2 years ago before the court decision by the Supreme Court. And I understand that the Cabinet paper was also quite explicit in telling police the powers are not to be used in the way that you're referring to.
With the removal of the previous restrictions around the collection and use of photos in public, will there be any new rules or expectations imposed to account for the concerns of misuse that have been raised?
Well, I suppose the key issue here is it's simply going back to what the rules were, and it doesn't make a lot of sense that the Supreme Court decision, as I said before, essentially meant that the police's ability to take photos was less than the general public. So all we're doing is restoring that ability to take photos for intelligence purposes that helps them create a better operational picture, and that helps them to make decisions around things like deployment. So it's a really common sense change, and New Zealanders don't have anything to worry about regarding it.
I'll move on to my next topic, relating to the government's decision to disallow 18 and 19-year-olds from receiving a benefit if their parents are deemed able to financially support them. Do you think that a combined $65,000 or so threshold for parents genuinely reflects the economic conditions faced by New Zealanders today?
So we are focused on backing young people to succeed in work and live independently, not rely on welfare. The level had to be set somewhere. This is about focusing and recognising effort and, as I say, helping young people build long-term independence.
What is the government's plan to lower the rate of unemployment, especially among young people in this country?
Well, one of the great outcomes from this announcement is the new $1,000 bonus payment that will reward those who get a job and stay off the benefit for a year. There's also community job coaching, which is going to provide intensive one-on-one support to help young people overcome barriers and find sustainable work. So lot of focus in supporting young people into work in this country.
Luxon is calling on young people to go where the jobs are and to find a job and stick to it, even if it's not exactly what they want to be doing. But recruitment agencies and job vacancy data has shown that there aren't enough positions for people to be working in. I mean, I can speak from my own experience with this. It's been quite a struggle to find anything. Often 100 or so people are applying for the same job, even if you are very qualified. Does the government recognise this problem, and what are you doing to resolve it?
So I think there's two things there. Firstly, our government is focused on reducing long-term welfare dependency and rewarding young people who step up, and that's what the $1,000 bonus payment is for those who get a job and stay off the benefit for a year. I think rather than looking at the picture the way you've described it, we should be focusing on each young person getting out and applying for the jobs that are there, and sometimes even turning up for those and knocking on the doors to find that job, because often my experience has been that employers are looking for that attitude, that want to get up and go, help, work and do what's needed. And often those jobs can be created as well. But let's just focus on filling the jobs that are available, and then we can go from there.
How has the government considered the adverse effects these changes will have for young people with health or mental health conditions who will struggle or be entirely unable to get into work or get off the benefit?
So there are different benefits for different purposes, but if someone is on the benefit and able to work, they should work. It's as simple as that. So focusing on those that are on the benefit and able to work, if they go and find that job and staff the benefit, but for a year there'll be that $1,000 bonus payment. For those that have genuine health reasons as to why they're not able to work, well, there are different pathways for them.
My final topic, on Sunday the government announced plans to change the targets to reduce methane emissions. Why has the government opted to go against Climate Change Commission recommendations to set higher rather than lower methane reductions targets?
So farmers asked for certainty and they asked for fairness, and we're delivering on both. We've backed the best available science and provided a practical pathway that both protects jobs and doesn't send production overseas. There's no point setting targets that result in some of the best and most efficient farming in the world being sent overseas. And this policy or announcement over the weekend around the methane target, a range of 14 to 24% reduction by 2050, achieves that outcome.
ACT Party leader David Seymour made comments that the previously set targets were an unscientific fantasy land assault on farmers. Does this kind of statement reflect a climate denial or climate even dismissal type view of the reason for these changes?
You'd have to ask David Seymour regarding his comments. I know from our perspective that these changed methane emission reduction targets are about having sensible targets that back innovation, that back partnering with the sector instead of opposing or imposing a tax, and ensuring that we have a pathway to 2050 that's practical, that's credible, and frankly that's in step with our trading partners.
I recognise that it is quite important to be taking care of our farmers. It is quite an important industry in New Zealand. Do you worry that this decision might be short-sighted given the potential and likely long-term consequences, though, across Aotearoa if we fail to reduce our emissions?
They're not only important to New Zealand, they're critical. It is the farming sector that has led our recovery from the COVID pandemic and the massive overspend of the previous government. And it is farmers that produce the food and fibre that we eat and that we use in this country. And we've got to make sure that whatever we do is practical and sensible in a New Zealand context. So A, we don't send production overseas, and B, we don't artificially increase the costs on New Zealanders of the food and fibre that we eat and that we use. So this clearly strikes the right balance, both in ensuring that we achieve our international obligations at the same time as we support the great work our farming sector does.
Finally, what steps will the government take to ensure that New Zealand continues to meet and accelerate our emissions reductions plans in line with global agreements?
There's a few things that we're going to be doing as part of this policy. There'll be a legislative review of those targets in 2040 to ensure it's in alignment with the science and against progress of our key trading partners. As I've said, there's going to be no tax on agricultural methane emissions because that tax would simply result in closing farms and sending jobs and production overseas, which isn't good for farmers and isn't good for the New Zealand economy. And we're going to recognise and protect the importance of food production in New Zealand by better aligning our domestic legislation with the language in the Paris Agreement. So I think all of those things lead to getting that balance right between what we need to do here domestically and what our trading partners are doing internationally.
I know I said final question. I do have to ask, you mentioned that you would do a review in 2040. If it comes up that we aren't doing the right thing by these new targets, what can be done at that stage to change that?
So the government at that stage would have to determine what the result of that review is and how that review is implemented. What putting that legislative review in place does means that there is a checkpoint in the process.
That was the National Party's Carl Bates on the methane reduction targets, benefit changes for 18 and 19-year-olds, and the Policing Act amendment.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Carl Bates.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.